from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan. Blinded
by the light. Welcome back to Prime Time. No Isaac, he's still down at Pebble Beach, but we are joined right now by a good friend on the show, one Mike Yam. He is working now for the CW, covering college football, working for the NFL Network, obviously covering NFL football, but also children's author of Fried Rice and Marinara, Mr. Do-It-All, Mike Yam, joining us. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. I appreciate it. You should be on the golf course, too. I just want to throw that out there.
We agree.
This should be like a team effort.
Yeah, we don't have that Rob schedule. He's like the Aaron Rodgers of the group. He has the unexcused absence that's excused.
I hear you.
It's a good thing.
If you get a tee time at Pebble, you can't move it, you know, just like Rodgers' trip to Egypt.
You just look. For me, I'll just take off whenever they let me take off. But I wouldn't mind getting out onto the golf course myself. Just throwing that out there.
Well, listen, Mike, we're excited to connect, mostly because you've got a new gig. You want to tell us a little bit about it and what you're excited for?
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. You know, like when, God, this is so crazy how the world comes together the way that it does. You know, obviously spent a long time covering the Pac-12 and Pac-12 Network, about a decade there. And in 2020, I didn't have a job there anymore, and I've been really fortunate and have loved my time at NFL Network. And I still get to do the NFL thing, but I had some folks from the Pac-12 side reach out to me a couple months ago and say, hey, any interest in potentially coming back? And my response initially was, coming back to what? There's no network. Like, what are we talking about? And no, they explained to me that they were going to be housing a lot of the pregame, the postgame, halftime, the fills, all that stuff for the CW. So I said, dude, I am so in if that can come together. And, you know, I got permission from NFL Network, and obviously Oregon State and Washington State will be on the CW this year, which I'm thrilled about. And then we get to expand. ACC was on CW a year ago, and looking forward to adding to their coverage this season.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's like this ever-evolving thing. Do you think over the next, if I had to give you a timeline, put on the Mike Yam future thinking cap, when does all this kind of get settled? Do we come to a final reality in the next 3 to 5 years? Do you think this is an ongoing evolution?
Are you talking about realignment in particular?
Yeah, just, you know, it's just, we got the house settlement lawsuits, and we got scholarship limits and NIL stuff, and there's antitrust, and now we've got realignment, and the ACC could be, you know, eventually we're going to settle on something. It's just when.
Agreed. Look, the whole landscape of college athletics, we have seen this evolution happening for years when it comes to the portal, now NIL. By the way, I was at ACC Media Days last week. The players look better than they ever have before. I did like a decade of media dates, right? Yeah. I don't remember like the Louis Vuitton shoes and the bling that looks really real. I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah. NIL money is a real thing for a lot of these players, which is cool to see, and I'm glad they're able to get it. So from a portal perspective and an NIL perspective, I think this thing just continues on the tracks and is going to continue to progress. From a realignment standpoint, I don't even think we're close to done. In fact, I'll tell you, look, there's obviously uncertainty in the ACC with Clemson and Florida State, but I would just fast forward here. I think in 10 years, and I'd have to go through all these television contracts, so I'll just put a broad number of a decade out. The rivalries that we have grown and loved on the West Coast in the Pac-12 conference, I am convinced, will be back. And I don't know if it's going to be called the Pac-12, but I just don't know how sustainable it is to have the current landscape of a Power Four, kind of the four major conferences now. I just don't know how realistic that is in the long term. I mean, it's these giant land grabs. I still think you net out on more of an NFL model. And I'll throw this out there. Look, I was at ACC Media Days. I live in Los Angeles now, and I didn't feel great Monday morning. I flew in Sunday. I'm telling you, I talked to some of these coaches out on the West Coast, and I get it, they charter, but there's a body clock thing where I don't know how we expect some of these kids, like Cal and Stanford, going to the East Coast. That's not going to be fun. SMU has got like a treacherous stretch where they're going like Texas, East Coast, back to Palo Alto, back to Texas. I mean, you're logging some serious frequent flyer miles. And I just, to your point, I don't think it's done. And I really do think there's a lot more realignment to come.
Well, and I know it's weird because no one talks about it, but yeah, we are still supposedly making these kids go to school. Like it's such a weird thing in all of this. You don't hear one thing about academics, and I know it's to the back burner now and everyone gets paid, but you still, like the last time I checked, there's still NCAA like qualifying and they're still like academic progress. And you do have to go to class at least right now.
Agreed. And look, although you do see some of these guys, like I talked to a couple of players at ACC Media Day and they're like, oh yeah, all my stuff's online. I'm like, damn, they're still doing that? Like the online thing, like this is still a thing. And it is. And some of them are grad students. And I talked to one kid who's a 7-year guy. God, I wish I was on that 7-year plan. I'll tell you that when I was in school, but you're right. Like there's a lot of demands. So I just think it's going to be crazy over the next couple of years. And look, I think to your point on some of the things that they have to do academically on top of, you know, just the travel and the demands of being, you know, an athlete, I'm glad they're getting their share in NIL cash. I really am.
Wanted to ask you too, Mike, because you are going to be covering Oregon State and Washington State, about what your expectations are for their programs, specifically their football programs in this new normal. Obviously, they're the two that get left out in the cold. They're the two that don't get to be in a power conference. They're still trying to carry over as much of their roster from being in the Pac-12 as they can, but there have been massive departures from both. I think it's still positive that they're going to be on TV, that they're not shut out entirely, but it is obviously very different. What are the vibes you're getting from those programs, and what's your expectation in covering them this season?
Yeah, look, I'm excited to see the products on the football field because we spend a lot of time talking about what's going to happen off of the field. And in due time, we'll get some of those answers. But I think it's unsettling. I think it's unsettling for an administration, for the student athletes that are there, for the coaches, you know, like, it's really meaningful. Like from a Jonathan Smith perspective, I don't blame him, right, for leaving. I mean, it sucks for Oregon State. I didn't think it was going to happen. But when you just don't know where you're going to be competing, what's that level of competition? Are you going to have the resources to be able to compete? I mean, I don't think I was about to call out one coach in particular, but I think this is every single coach. Coach takes over a brand new program. You know, one of the first questions he's going to ask an athletic director is like, what's my budget for support staff? Yeah. You know, can I go and pay coordinators top dollar, you know, and compared to what some of the other coordinators are making in the league? Like, those are the types of things that are meaningful. And I think right now from a Washington State and an Oregon State perspective, they're still trying to figure out, hey, like, what is this next step? Is it combining with the Mountain West? Is it some sort of reverse merger? Is there, I've seen like the European soccer model where teams would come up and if they did well, they'd stay and other teams get relegated down. I mean, it's been pretty creative. I think there's also a school of thought of seeing like, hey, let's see what happens with this Clemson Florida State situation. And is there, you know, a deal with them? Is there a deal that changes from an ACC perspective? Already, you know, two teams on the West Coast with Stanford and Cal that are familiar with obviously the two teams in the Pac-12. So, you know, I just think the uncertainty is unsettling. And I think hopefully we get an answer within the next year or so. You know, from a contractual obligation, I do love the fact, and I sound like a company guy because you're asking me about the CW when we come on, but one of the major issues that this league had for a long time was eyeballs and distribution. I mean, think about this. Oregon State and Washington State will probably get more eyeballs on their games than any of the games that were played on Pac-12 Network over the course of the 10 years that I was there.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I mean, it's just kind of reality.
That's
right?
Wild.
Like, I don't know the exact numbers, but I don't think I'm far off, if I'm being honest with you. Like, it's, they got penetration across the board in every household in this country. Pac-12 Network, I know for a fact, didn't have that. So, and I think at our peak, what were we, 20 million homes, something along those lines. So I just think about the opportunity from an opportunity for these schools to get their teams out there and get eyeballs on the product.
And hopefully, you know, it can get settled, because the longer it goes, the resources dwindle and, you know, you kind of get forgotten. So time is not your friend, but fingers crossed. Now, I want to ask you, like, because you were at the ACC Media Day, and obviously what happened to the Pac-12 was a lot of people's fault. But look, UCLA and USC was the domino, and then Oregon, Washington was the killer. And, you know, and now there's a lot of, like, bitter feelings. Well, in the ACC, you got two schools right now that are trying to kill that conference, basically. And, you know, how awkward was it, you know, knowing that everyone's there, and yet it's not a united front, and there's two schools that are actively suing, saying, we're better than you, I don't want to be a part of this. What sort of vibe was there at ACC Media Day when we've already seen you can kill a conference? Like, the, you know, it used to be a conference like that can't fail. Yes, it can.
You're 100% accurate, and I think it's a really good question. And, you know, it's funny, Max Brown, who obviously played at SC for a little bit, played at Pitt, he's going to be, you know, one of my teammates on the CW, calling mostly ACC games. We were talking about this, and I think he kind of painted a pretty good picture, because I was gone in 2020 from Pac-12 Network. So a lot of these conversations, like, you hear occasional rumblings. Clearly there were some universities that felt like their brands were bigger than the other ones in the league. And, you know, a disproportionate share of cash should go to those campuses. That's not how the Pac-12 worked. It was an even share across the board. And, you know, maybe that was part of the reason why you saw the defections from the LA schools. But Max made a really good point. He said, over the course of the last couple of years, there's been so much, well, what happens now? The league is over. And it was so unsettling. He said it wasn't for him. ACC Media Day wasn't exactly that vibe, but there was some reminders of it. Because to your point, like, there are two schools very publicly unhappy with the roles that they have right now. And I think if you're Florida State or Clemson, you got two of the great brands in college football, right? I mean, God, I remember growing up as a kid watching all these Florida State games. Like, to me, they got to feel like, how do we go and compete? And the dollars over time, over the next few years, that delta just gets bigger and bigger. And if you're talking about tens of millions of dollars that the teams that they're trying to knock off in a college football playoff have at their disposal, that is meaningful. That is so meaningful. And your margin of error just decreases so much more. You just got to be able to hit on almost all the prospects, all the kids that you're trying to get. And I know Clemson's not dipping into the portal per se, but, you know, and you go into the portal, you go into the high school ranks, no matter what, you can't you can't miss. And I just think that those schools sit back and go, this is not something that's sustainable long term, and there's got to be a better option.
Mike, I want to hit on NFL with you just for 1 second. Sure. before we get you out of here. But I know you've been really busy. You're at Rams camp, and coming up, you're headed to Baltimore's camp, Atlanta's camp, and Buffalo's camp. Of the things that you've covered so far this summer with the NFL, or that you're going to be covering in the next week or so, what's really stood out to you?
Wow. Look, you just mentioned Baltimore. I'm actually really excited. Last year during the season, I don't know if you felt this way, I thought the Ravens were the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect to the Chiefs, who clearly can say that they are, because guess what? They won the Super Bowl and they beat
them head-to-head
in Baltimore in an AFC championship game. I get all of that. In the regular season, the Ravens, to me, were the scariest team, a dominant offense and a dominant defense. And to me, sometimes you need to learn how to win. And Baltimore, I think, might have learned a really tough lesson on how to win in a really deflating loss in that championship game, that AFC championship game against Kansas City. And I think there are teams in the AFC right now that go and look at the Chiefs and say, how do we build our team to beat that squad? And I think Derrick Henry has a lot of tread still left on those tires. Mm. And as much as I think Derrick Henry can help Lamar Jackson in that offense, I think Lamar Jackson and that offense can help Derrick Henry. No team is going to now look at Derrick Henry in the backfield and say, only threat, they're definitely running, he's getting the rock. And, oh, by the way, he still was able to dominate. I just think the options for this offense, there were two designed runs for Lamar Jackson in the AFC championship game, and they lost. I can't help but think that maybe that play calling is a little bit different this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about an AFC championship game with those two teams again.
I have yelled it from the mountaintop now for months, and I've been doing this for 22 years.
Wow.
And I, to this day, will tell you, I cannot recall a worse game plan than what the Baltimore Ravens had in that game. And I've yet to see an explanation for it. It baffles me. It is one of those things that, like, it'll be 10 years from now and I'll randomly bring it up to someone and be like, this old man, I just don't understand it. The number one rushing team in the NFL against a defense that isn't, the one thing that they don't do well is stop the run. And you go into that game, we're like, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to run the ball. No, we're not. I think in the second half, they gave their two backs three carries. It's just the most, and they still almost won. So it's the most, as you can tell, I'm still, it still, whenever it gets brought up, you brought up the Ravens being the best team, I just want to start yelling, yes, 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 they should have won the Super Bowl. But they didn't, because they refused to run the ball.
Yeah. Look, they had success too. Even Todd Monken, who I thought, by the way, did a tremendous job during the season.
Yes.
That offense was explosive. They were great in the air, and that's what we wanted to see, the evolution of Lamar Jackson. But I got to tell you, you get to the postseason, you got to run a little bit. And it was a tough watch, man. I thought the Ravens were going to win the Super Bowl last year. I did not see that playing out the way that it did.
Mike, really appreciate your time and sticking on with us for a little bit longer. But congratulations to you in the new gig. We are excited to see you covering what used to be Pac-12 teams regularly on Saturdays coming up this season. And we'll catch you on the NFL Network as well. You can follow him at Mike_Yam on Twitter. As always, Mike, thanks for joining us.
I always appreciate the invite. Thanks again.
Absolutely. The great Mike Yam, always nice connecting with him. Coming up next, Souk and Yam talking about the Ravens and the Super Bowl. One parlay ticket needs them to win to cash $223,000. We'll give you the details next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.